Today is very special in the calendar of the church because the resurrection changes everything. Do you believe that this morning?
Oh, yes.
Everything is changed because of the resurrection.
That's right.
Nothing stays the same. Our future, our lives today, our existence, it's all changed because of the resurrection. So, today, I've got some Easter eggs on the screen, and we're going to talk about this together. You see, not everything in life is dependable, is it? A friend of mine died the week before last, was buried this week, and his wife wasn't expecting that to happen this Easter. We've seen some awful things happen in the news this week, and don't we always? Because isn't the news really the bad news?
Yeah.
The truth is that life is difficult. In fact, it stinks sometimes.
Yeah.
It was Benjamin Franklin who is recorded as having said, "In this world nothing can be said to be certain except death and taxes." It was also attributed to Einstein that he said, "There are two things that are infinite, the universe and human stupidity." And I'm not sure about the universe. And whether or not Einstein actually did say that, I haven't been totally able to confirm, but it's a very clever saying, isn't it? Because the truth is, human stupidity can seem to be infinite. We live in a changing world where money is tight. We're living in days of corruption, days of austerity nationally, when the health care you get depends on your postcode.
Yeah.
We're living in a day in which nothing can be certain except one thing. Jesus is alive.
Amen.
Jesus is alive.
Amen.
We can be certain of this one thing. Yeah. Jesus is alive. He's risen from the dead. Nothing and no one can change that. Oh, Stephen, you're hitting the lectern again. Sorry. No, I'm not sorry, because Jesus is alive. And if we can't get excited about this on Resurrection Sunday, then God help us. And I mean that literally. The scripture says in Acts chapter 2, God raised Jesus from the dead, freeing him from the agony of death, because it was impossible for death to keep its hold on him. You can't keep a good man down. And Jesus is by definition a good man. In fact, he is the only truly good man. Someone came to him once and said, "Good teacher, what must I do to be saved?" And Jesus turned the question back on him and said, "Why do you call me good?" But Jesus was the good man. And the man who said that didn't realize how important his words were. This morning, the resurrection changes everything. And I'm going to talk to you about how it does that. My first point today is this. The resurrection of Jesus changes disappointments into hope. The resurrection of Jesus turns disappointments into hope. In the first reading we had, these two guys are walking along the road from Jerusalem back to where they live for the night, and someone comes alongside them. They did not recognize the risen Jesus. Maybe their eyes were so filled with tears. Maybe their heads were hung low. They were certainly followers of Jesus who were very upset by the events of the previous couple of days. What is really clear is that these disciples did not expect Jesus to die. They rather expected him to free Israel from its Roman oppression. They expected him to redeem Israel, yet they saw him die. The more spiritual ones of them, at the very least, expected him to set up God's kingdom on the earth. In a moment, though, All of their hope was lost. It says in Luke 24:21, but we had hoped that he was the one. But we had hoped that he was the one. I was going to say, have you ever been disappointed? Well, that's a stupid question to ask. It might be easier to ask, have you ever not been disappointed? But we live life with a lot of disappointment, don't we? We get disappointed when the council tax bill arrives for the year and we see how much it's gone up. We get disappointed when we don't get that phone call on Easter Day. We get disappointed when our friends say, sorry, we can't make tonight, and it ends up that there's only us that's going out. So we stop in. We get disappointed about a lot of things. We get disappointed when we lose someone close to us. We get disappointed when things do not work out. We get disappointed when the postman delivers the bank statement. The truth is, we battle with disappointment all the time. These guys walking on the road to Emmaus, they were disappointed because they had put all their hope in Jesus and he'd gone and died on them. When I was 7 years old, my father died and left me with a mentally ill mother. And all I can remember thinking is, how could he leave me with this mad woman? I was terribly disappointed, but it wasn't actually that my father had died, it's that he'd left me with her. You know, I used to live for my father coming home from work, because it was the only time I ever felt safe. And I was terribly disappointed when my father died. I think it was 7 years later, when I was 14, that I really mourned the death of my father. Until then, I'd just been terribly disappointed in him. You know, there are so many things in life that disappoint us. Their dreams had died with Jesus, and they saw no future in a land in which they were oppressed by the Romans. Yet, they got together and ate bread and drank wine together, which was, of course, what Jesus had done with them only a couple of nights before. What we have done this morning. And in that simple meal, they discovered that the Lord was risen. Because when Jesus broke the bread, they recognized the fingers that were breaking the bread. They recognized the eyes in his head that looked at them as he broke the bread. They recognized the voice. It was Jesus. And all of a sudden, disappointment turns to hope. Jesus is alive. How wonderful. How wonderful it must have been in that moment to have gone walking with your head down, so low you don't even recognize Jesus when he comes and walks with you. But there, in your own home, Jesus breaks bread and gives you wine to drink, and you are sharing with him who you thought was dead. What a wonderful moment. What a wonderful moment. And in that point of our deepest and darkest disappointments, Jesus can still come alongside us. You know, I remember when I was a kid in church, preachers would often say, just as Jesus walked through the streets of Judea, he's walking up and down these aisles right now. And I remember the hairs on the back of my neck used to stand on end. And I used to be, he's walking up and down these aisles. He's here. He's here. And you know what? Amazing things happened. Wonderful things happened. And God has often walked into my life. Often it's been in church meetings. Often it's not been. But Jesus has manifested himself in my life. And I want to say to you today, there's no difference between you and me. Jesus is risen for us all. He is alive. Emeritus Professor of History at Oxford University famously quoted as saying, "There is no one event in all of recorded history to which we can attest the truth of as much as the resurrection of Jesus Christ." You know, Jesus is alive. And I would not be here today if he wasn't. I am not prepared to come to church just because we do it. It's a thing we do, and we've nothing else to do on Sunday morning. I mean, good grief, you know, we could be in Tesco's together, except today because it's shut by law. Amen. But, you know, why would I come to church unless Jesus is alive? If Jesus is alive, I can meet with Jesus. And that's what I come to church to do. I don't come to church to sing songs. I have to say to you, I've been excited for about 6 weeks about that song we started with this morning. It's one of my favourite songs. And I said to Libby, I want you to do this on Easter Sunday morning. And she's been rehearsing it. And it's a great song. And I absolutely love it. I was excited about that. But to be honest, unless Jesus is with us, what's the fuss about singing in the first place? Yeah. We read scriptures. We had two lovely scriptures read to us. Powerful scriptures. But what's the point in reading from an old book, however many new versions we've got? And I've just got another new version. The Holman Christian Standard has been revised. It's now just called the Christian Standard. There you go. Keep your eyes open for that. But, you know, despite the modern language that we use in our Bibles today, unless the author is here for us to talk with, I can't be bothered. I really can't. I don't see why. Because the truth is, there's so much in this life that disappoints us. Why meet together just to celebrate someone else who's gone and died on us? My son died when he was 7. If you want something to knock the stuffing out of you, if you want something to disappoint you, go through that. But do you know what? I am full of hope today because Jesus is alive.
Amen.
And whatever we face it with a risen Jesus. Sometimes I am glad that you are here with me, because you encourage me. But sometimes I am oblivious to the fact that you are here with me, because I am just talking to Jesus. And do you know, whether your words to Jesus this morning are a half sentence, or whether there are a couple of paragraphs, or whether they're very verbose, like the man who stood in front of you right now, it doesn't matter. What matters is talk to him, engage with him, because you can do, because he's alive.
Amen.
The resurrection changes everything. It changes our disappointments into hope. And I thank God for that. I've put in my notes here this sentence: the Messiah had come and dealt with the elephant in the room. The elephant in the room. What's the elephant in the room? You know, the elephant in the room is a saying when you're in a group and no one talks about the big issue. They say about, "Oh, that cup of tea was very nice, wasn't it? Oh, weren't the chairs comfy in church this morning? It was lovely and warm today in church, wasn't it? It was really good." Looking at the person who's always the coldest. But the elephant in the room is death. Death is the biggest disappointment in life to many of us. Because when we lose someone that we cared about, it's like being squashed. It's a disappointment. It's a pain. It's hurtful. We don't like loss. But the Messiah came to deal with the elephant in the room. Jesus dealt with death. How do we know that Jesus dealt with death? Because he died and under his own power rose from the dead. He overcome death and the grave. He overcame them. He had the power to do that. And it's that Jesus I walk with. And this, today is my big anniversary of the year. But actually, this week is also the anniversary of me walking with Jesus. On the 21st, I will have been walking with Jesus 49 years. And you say to me, Stephen, you aren't that old. You liar. No, seriously. It's the greatest joy to me that in 49 years, he hasn't left me. He hasn't. He's always been there, and he will be there for you too. The resurrection changes everything because it turns brokenness into healing. Peter let Jesus down quite badly, didn't he? Peter goes, follows Jesus when he's arrested, and a young lady says to him, "You're one of them Galileans. I think you follow Jesus, don't you?" And he says, "No." And then someone else says it to him. And he says, "No!" And then the third time, he swears. Peter let Jesus down badly. And when Jesus is put in the tomb, Peter is a broken man. Even the job of looking after Jesus' mother didn't go to Peter. On the cross, Jesus didn't say, "Mary, look at your son, Peter. Peter, look at your mother, Mary." Didn't happen. Didn't happen. He gave that to his youngest disciple, John. He said, "John, your mother, Mary. Mary, your son, John." Even Peter didn't get that really big responsibility. Maybe Jesus couldn't trust him. But he was a broken man. And, you know, all he could do now was go back 3.5 years to where he was when Jesus first found him fishing. And when he said to the other disciples, "Right, guys, I'm going fishing," it wasn't like, "Hey, guys, I need a day out to cool, to chill." It was something much more insidious than that. Excuse me. It was about going back to the life he'd known. He was so broken, he didn't feel he could carry on. Which is why we had in our second reading that passage from John's Gospel where Jesus says to Peter, "Peter, do you agape me, Peter?" In our Bibles it says love. But Jesus says, "Do you agape me, Peter?" Which becomes relevant when you see Peter's answer. He says, "You know that I filio you, Jesus." Jesus asks him if he agapes him. Agape is selfless love. It's love that loves even if it's not reciprocated. Peter retorts, "I filio you, Jesus." Filio is the love you have for a brother or a good friend. It's friendship love. It's love where it matters. You know, you might go to that person's funeral, but you don't agape them. And Jesus, the second time, says to Peter, "Peter, do you agape me?" And the second time, Peter says to him, "You know that I filio you, Jesus." The third time, Jesus says to Peter, "Peter, do you filio me, Peter?" And Jesus answers, "You know that I filio you, Jesus." It would have been lovely if he'd said agape, wouldn't it? But Jesus asked him if he loved him like a brother. "Do you love me in friendship?" in brotherly friendship. It cannot have gone past Peter's attention that Peter denied Jesus three times and Jesus asks him if he loves him three times. That was not coincidence. Peter isn't quite sure at that moment in time how much he loves Jesus. He only knows that he's broken. He only knows that he has let Jesus down. And the fact that Jesus has asked him three times only is like having a stick poked in your wound. And Peter is reminded terribly. But Jesus is absolutely sure that he loves Peter. And in our brokenness, we need a risen Jesus because we can be sure he loves us. And that's why we need a risen Jesus. We need a Jesus who will love us. A Jesus who will be like the Father with his arms wide open, welcoming back the prodigal son. A Jesus who will come alongside and walk with us and eat with us. A Jesus who will share his comfort with us when we're hurting. A Jesus who will be like the Good Samaritan and pour on oil and wine on our wounds and bind up the wounds and give us a place to recover at his own cost, because he wants to turn our brokenness into healing. Only meeting a living Jesus can deal with our brokenness. I am absolutely certain that in this last chapter of John's Gospel, Peter feels that he is broken beyond repair. Haven't you felt like that from time to time? The message is still the same message to you as it was to Peter. The risen, living Jesus comes up to you and says, "I love you." And when we hear those words, we receive comfort from the Jesus who is alive. Hebrews 7 verse 25 says, "Therefore, Jesus is able to save completely those who come to God through him, because he always lives to intercede for them." Can you imagine turning up in court and your defense lawyer doesn't turn up? And you turn to the judge and you say, "Judge, my defense lawyer's not here." And the judge says, "Yeah, I'm sorry, he's dead." It's not a lot of good, is it? I mean, that's justice letting you down. That's British legal system wrecking your life. But this in Hebrews 7 says, Jesus always lives to intercede for us. Jesus is always there as our advocate. He's always there as our defense attorney. Jesus is there for us. And whatever you're facing, Jesus will stand with us. Our Bill has had the last 3 weeks off, but he's had to work today, bless him. But, you know, Bill always says to me that when he was falsely accused and had to go to London for trial, and many of you will remember his story, he says how he stood in that witness box. And he says, "I never, ever in my whole life knew the reality of the presence of Jesus stood with me as much as I did that day." And you know, whenever I think about that, my eyes fill up. I think, what a wonderful experience, a lovely memory that God gave Bill out of what was a horrendous experience. When at the end of the day, they told him that, "I'm sorry, we've got the wrong person here." But he went through 18 months of torment getting to that day. But Jesus never left his side. However broken you are today, Jesus wants to come to you and turn it into healing. The resurrection of Jesus changes death into life. Last week we talked about the triumphal entry into Jerusalem. And we said that the crowd that came cheering Jesus were those that had been with him the day before in Bethany when he'd raised Lazarus from the dead. It was on that day that Jesus, talking to the sisters of the deceased, Lazarus's sisters, Mary and Martha, he said to them, "I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live even though he dies, and whoever lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this?" And to them who have just lost their brother, who Jesus had deliberately stayed away when he could have been there and saved him from dying, Jesus, when Lazarus is 4 days dead and distinctively smelly, Jesus says to them, "Do you believe this?" And you know what? They did. And you know what? Jesus raised him from the dead. Jesus shouts, "Lazarus, come forth." And you know what? Jesus' voice carried that well in that village that hundreds of people heard him and followed him. But you know what? It carried that well. It was heard in paradise. It carried that well that Lazarus, who's just moving in, who's just got this fantastic mansion, and is just getting settled in, who's just looking at the 92-inch LCD TV on the wall, this Lazarus, who has just met Moses, and is absolutely, his jaws open and his tongue is hanging down to his left kneecap because he's just met Moses, Lazarus hears this voice shouting, "Lazarus, come forth." And all of a sudden he's back in his body and the bandages stink to high heaven, but his body's alive, it's healed, it's restored. And he walks out of the tomb and everyone's shouting, "Yeah, yeah!" And wouldn't you,
yeah,
a man who's 4 days old, who stank to high heaven because of rotting, corruption, is now alive.
Yeah.
Do you think Jesus couldn't sort that out for himself in 3 days? Do you think that Jesus would have a problem when he's raised Lazarus from the dead? I think not. Paul says in Romans 6, "The death he died to sin once for all. But the life he lives to God." Jesus did die, but that's only half the story. The other half is the resurrection changes everything. It changes our death into life. Benjamin Franklin maybe does say that death is certain, but in Jesus, the resurrection is certain. Jesus rose from the dead to say this big loud message that if you follow me, your resurrection is certain also. You will rise.
Yep.
Thank you, Nigel. 2 Corinthians 2:14, "But thanks be to God, who always leads us in triumphal procession in Christ, and through us spreads everywhere the fragrance of the knowledge of him. For we are to God the aroma of Christ among those who are being saved and those who are perishing. To the one, we are the smell of death. To the other, the fragrance of life." If you don't know Jesus, if you don't have a relationship with God, and of course, the thing about a raised Jesus is you can have a relationship with him. You can have a religion with somebody dead, but you can have a relationship with someone who's alive. But the truth is that if you don't get this, if you've never had a relationship with Jesus, then to you this morning, we might smell like Lazarus. We might just be the smell of death to you. But if you know him, wow, we smell better than DKNY for men. We smell better than millionaire. We smell better than Chanel because we are the smell of life. 1 Corinthians 15:20, "But Christ has indeed been raised from the dead. Indeed. Indeed. Anybody remember Stargate SG-1? Oh, Lord, we're going to have a difficult crowd this morning. Amen. Amen, sister. God bless you. In it was a character called Teal'c. And he had a catchphrase. It was one word. It was, indeed. He was a great big hulking guy. And it was a bit like Groot from the Guardians of the Galaxy. You know, all he could really say was one word. He would say, indeed. And my Arielle, she has adopted this. And it's been, I mean, she watched Stargate all the way through. And she still says it today. And she'll just turn to me and say, indeed. And she's doing a Teal'c. But you know something? Jesus has indeed been risen from the dead. Indeed. Indeed. It would make Teal'c very happy today. Because Jesus has indeed been risen from the dead. We aren't talking some crazy stuff. We're talking what we know, what we've experienced. I'm not talking to you about a Jesus that I've just read about. I'm talking to you about a Jesus who has walked with me for almost 49 years. A Jesus who has stayed with me through my youth, through my childhood, through my adulthood, through bereavements, through leading a church. He has stayed with me. And he'll stay with you too. Indeed. Indeed. Christ has been raised from the dead. For as in Adam, the first man, all die, so in Christ we'll all be made alive. If you like, it's the message of exile given to Adam and Eve. You will surely die. But to us, the message of life has come. Jesus is alive. And we too can know what that means. We win gloriously. It's tremendous. You know, a pastor that I had until I was, oh, I don't know, about 30. I visited him on his deathbed, dying of cancer in his living room. He was a lovely man full of hope. And he said to me, Stephen, he said, I can't lose. He said, if God heals me and raises me up from this bed, I am a miracle, I'm a living miracle. If I don't, I'm in heaven, and that's a miracle. Because you don't remember me, what the man I was. How God saved me, and he said, I'm quite hopeful that I'm going to walk with him soon.
Yeah.
And you know what? It was a wonderful thing to see him die. Not because I didn't miss him, of course I missed him. But because he died gloriously. He died gloriously. And we don't talk about glorious deaths enough. Now don't worry, I'm not going to go all weird on you and get you to drink poison and say, no, don't do that here. No, there's other churches, but not this one, no. The resurrection changes everything. It changes our death into life. Whatever you're facing today, whether you're broken and need healing, whether you're disappointed and have no hope, or whether you're just living under the shadow of this mountain called death, and you feel that the icy cold of this shadow is falling over your life and that you will go soon. My mother told me she was dying. It was the first thing I ever remember her saying. I wouldn't have been 2 years old. And she carried on doing that until 1998, when she eventually died. And that was the first time in her life she never told me she was dying. But do you know what? You might live under that cloud. The Bible says that Jesus has come to set free all of those who live under the shadow of death, the fear of death. Mm-hmm. Jesus is there for you too. Would you bow your heads with me? On this resurrection day, it would be wrong of me not to pray with those that want prayer. if today you don't have a living relationship with Jesus, if when I talk in that language it's meaningless to you, you don't even really get what I mean, then that means you haven't got that relationship. You haven't got that real walk with Jesus. But if you want that today, then while every head is bowed, I don't want anyone else to look round the room at all. But while every head is bowed, if you need that relationship, if you need the resurrection to change everything for you today, then whilst every head is bowed, just raise a hand and put it straight down again. Hand in the air, straight down. And I will know to pray for you. I won't embarrass you, not call you out to the front. No one else is going to hear about it. But if that's you today, 3, 2, 1, hand up. Okay, thank you. But if today you are just overcome by disappointment or broken, and you feel that nothing's working for you, but you desperately want it to, then let me pray with you, because God is the God of helpless and hopeless cases. I thank God he's here for us all. And if today you want prayer because you're disappointed or you're lacking hope, or you feel broken, then I want you just to come out to the front. If you have needs of anything else, if you're sick and you need prayer, come out and I will pray with you today, because the resurrection changes everything. And today it can change your everything as well.